Well, you may have been waiting for about 19 months, but I feel that I've been waiting a long time here tonight to say more than two words. I do. I am. I will. Necessary questions, but now I can say a little more, and you'll be trusting not too much more. I do appreciate the messages that have been brought to our attention tonight from Reverends Brown and Greer. Over the past month, I've been on holidays, so we've been dropping in various churches, visiting around, listening to others. I haven't been preaching to anybody, but I have been preaching to myself. And I've asked myself before God over the past number of weeks, well, what should I do? Make the way plain. Give me counsel. And it dovetails in remarkably with what we've heard tonight. I've crystallized it down, and sometime I'll maybe get someone to put this on a little plaque for my study. First thing, more of Christ. Second line that I have in mind and want to have in heart, more of compassion. Third line, more of concentration. Give me a focus. I'm not 22 years old anymore, just coming out of college. I'm, and I always was, a dying man preaching to dying men and women. I need to focus on that. I need to see things as they are. And I believe with all my heart that if I get more of Christ, then more of compassion and more of this concentration, they'll take care of themselves. It is the love of Christ, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ, the cross, that constrains us, drives us forward. I'd like to not only thank the preachers, but continue in the vein of thanks tonight by thanking all of you for coming. Whether from near or far, and I see some from my own home congregation, Lisburn. But I'm delighted that all of you have come. I know it demands considerable effort on a Friday night in the middle of summer. I appreciate you coming. Recognize also that many have traveled a considerable distance to be here, not least of which are some of the congregation from Londonderry, to whom I've been privileged to minister for the past 26 years. I've tried to be faithful to them. They have been loyal and loving to me. 26 years in one place results in a special relationship, forges incredibly close ties, makes the pain of parting severe. Please pray for them that the Lord will protect them, make the way plain before them, and prosper them. To the congregation here in Martyrs Memorial, let me thank you for issuing this call to be your minister, for the hope you've expressed, and for the help that already you've offered. I'm really not sure that you know who you've got. I mean, I came in tonight here, and I was walking along that corridor along with my wife. She was ahead of me, and she met one of the lovely ladies here in the Martyrs. She said to my wife, "Oh, you must be Mr. Brown's daughter." I am never going to live that down. Thank you. So I guess now, whenever the supper comes, I'll be getting into the lift and not be crawling up the stairs. I do pray the Lord has day as a blessing planned for us. To Reverend Alan Smiley, who was cared for this congregation during the vacancy, communicated with me regarding the call and all other necessary issues, and has done his duty in an exemplary manner. Let me thank him. To my wife, Gillian, and her children, Joel, Aaron, and Chloe. To both sets of parents, my dad died this month, 2 years ago. Gillian's mum passed away again this month, but about 24 years ago. But her family has been an incredible source of support, brought much satisfaction to us. To those already who have participated in the meeting, to those who will participate, yes, there's more. Let me again thank you. To those who have sent greetings, and they have come in thick and fast from home here and from Australia, as we've heard, Africa, America, Spain, and a rather odd one, I suppose, Slovakia, too. I know the order of service that you're looking at indicates that I am to give my testimony at this stage. I'll keep my comments now as short as possible. The detail can wait. But in outlining my testimony, this gives me opportunity to attribute the greatest thanks of all to my rock, the God of my salvation, my covenant redeemer, my unfailing friend and helper. Paul said, it pleased God, who called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I may preach him. And in getting the opportunity to do that, I rejoice. I was converted to Christ early in life. Timothy in the Bible is a classic example of the kind of experience that I enjoyed. It was said of him from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That happened in my life. I was called into service during my A-level year. I was going on for architecture. That was my plan. God came in as a master draftsman, sent me in a different direction, and during that time, as a result primarily of my sitting here in a meeting that I was happy to be at because it was the prayer service in the Easter Convention at the Martyrs Memorial, and I knew that if I go on the Friday night, it'll just be a lot of singing groups. On Saturday, it'll be the missionary challenge. That's the meeting to avoid because God was already dealing with me. I came here on the Friday night, and a word that I'd heard on the Wednesday previous in our children's meeting, workers' prayer meeting in Lisburn, was opened again here, and God was calling Samuel, and that night he was calling me. So in this building that happened. On completion of theological training at Whitfield College, I was called to Londonderry, stayed there for over one quarter of a century. I had no ambitions for this pulpit, because in Londonderry, I was settled, very much operating in my comfort zone. So, why am I here tonight? When interest from martyrs began to shape up into a call, I used the words of Psalm 5 and 8 as my prayer. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Make thy way straight before my face. I've been following just this year. It's usually McShane's daily Bible reading, but this year I've tried to raise the bar a little personally and followed Professor Horner's Bible reading plan. You have to read 10 chapters a day. It's not easy. But I was looking there for guidance. Something that I was reading through systematically, not jumping along to something that I knew that was famous to me or favorite to me. And a key piece of leading appeared in the form of Romans 15, 23. Words that never struck me before. But now, having no more place in these parts. Verse 32, same chapter, Romans 15, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now that was supported by many other scriptures. I'll not go into the detail now, that'll be for another time. For example, though, and I'll give one, Acts 23:11, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And then on one significant day, three passages came in quick succession. 1 Peter 1:13-16, "He which called you was holy." Matthew 4:12-25, "He departed into Galilee, leaving, came and dwelt, left the ship and their father and followed him." And then this key leading, second time around in the cycle of Bible reading, Romans 15:22-33, that verse 23 standing out again, "But now, having no more place in these parts." Let me throw this in. It happened before that day when the three passages came tumbling in one after another. I was going down the Glenshane Pass, heading probably towards Belfast, and prayed, "Lord, you're going to have to make this way very plain to me. I'm not moving unless it's crystal clear." Immediately, and I mean that, out of a dip in the road, I could take you to the very spot at the Ford Glen, came a bus. And instead of that bus advertising along the roof there, its destination, Londonderry 212 or whatever, the bright orange lettering, illuminated on the bus sign, spelled out two words: "Just go!" Exclamation mark. I haven't yet found out who sponsored that advert. Whether Londonderry, "Just go!" Our martyrs, "Just go!" And I don't take my leading from out of service buses. But Psalm 103, the verse 21, reminds me that I am a minister of His only when I do His pleasure. As ministers, we preach to you that you should seek out, find, it's been talked about again tonight, the will of God in your life, and do it. No matter the obstacles, in spite of the circumstances, do the will of God. I cannot preach and not practice. Now the rest of the detail regarding testimony and call, I will reserve until Sunday night coming. I intend to give my testimony then, including a more detailed account of my call to the pulpit here. I've chosen the title for Sunday evening, "The Perfect Pastor." Let me be quick in saying that is not a reference to me. I have, and preachers here will know, I have someone else in mind. My ministry here will not be about self-promotion. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want Christ to be magnified. In fact, I say to you, come and let us exalt His name together. Now, if I've aroused any curiosity about the Sabbath evening, come along, listen in. I understand, just by the way, there's another supper. In closing, I would aim to deliver here in days to come, by God's grace, a number of Bible teaching series, which I trust will be exciting, instructful, useful. how to get the best out of your Bible, knowing God, basic Bible study, the dignity and beauty of Christ. Each series will come with printed notes. They'll build up in their own way into a set of books. But whether you occupy a seat in one of the pews here, listening to these messages, or in another congregation, be it Free Presbyterian or not, one thing I and my family covet here: your prayers. Can I ask you to pray for us every day? We will need it. Once again, thank you for coming, especially the young people that have come here in such numbers on a Friday night in the middle of summer, where on any other year I would have been at the Milk Cup finals. Thank you for coming. And for all the rest, you older people that I tonight will be squeezing into the lift with, thank you for coming as well. May God bless you.